We thank you for grace today. Thank you for what we have, Lord. Your grace, your mercy, and your care, Father, as you reveal thy word to us in this hour of time as you walk in thy light. Guide us, Lord, keep us. You know, Father, we are here for one purpose. It's to learn from you, Father. It's to understand you, Lord. As Paul said in his epistles to the Ephesians, Lord, he prayed that the Father would give us the spirit of revelation, knowledge and the understanding of our Father, wisdom and understanding of him, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for what you granted us today. This precious revelation of who you are to us, Lord. And we thank you that you have given us a relationship with you to be children of the living God, to know you, to love you because you first love us. How precious, Lord, is this great gift given to us. So, Father, as you approach thy word, we ask for your guiding hands to open our understanding further to truth, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We praise you for all that you have done for us. In Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen. Look at the board. This is my first question to you today. Would Jesus Christ come to earth if the fall did not take place and all mankind born without sin? That's the first question. Would Jesus Christ come to earth if the fall did not take place and all mankind born without sin? I don't know what your answer is. I asked this question on Friday. Think about it for a little while. The next question comes up with this. Why do we believe in Jesus Christ? We are still having a subject that is hinged to the last week's message on God's election. Would Jesus Christ come to earth if the fall did not take place and all of mankind born without sin? What do you think? Of course, you might have some answer perhaps. Well, no, I don't think Christ. Why would Christ come? After all, there is no sin. After all, there is no fall. So why would he come for? Okay, but now that we are in this stage where mankind fell, fall took place, and Jesus came. Okay, now that he came, now I'll ask you the question, why do you believe in Jesus Christ? And the chances is the answer that normally would be given is, oh well, I believe in Jesus Christ because, you know, I want to escape hell, I want to go to heaven. And that is exactly the answer that normally I would get. What do you believe in Jesus Christ? And when a person answers that, please, oh, because, you know, I'm single, you know, the Bible said I'll be condemned and cast into the lake of fire, so I want to go to heaven. So that's why I believe in Jesus. You know. So if you look at these two questions, would Jesus come to earth if the fall did not take place and all the mankind born without sin? Would you think that he will come if the whole world has not fallen into sin? If all mankind today born without sin? If Adam and Eve had not sinned, then you say, and all mankind, you know, is born without sin, would Jesus come to earth? And the answer is, many times you look at it and say, no, because as I said this before, so, after all, there's no sin, why would he come? You know. So we are going to look into it today, in connection, as I said, with last week's message, God's election. And I want to show you from our point, the problem we have many times is that we look from our human point of view, from the perspective on this earth. We look from the perspective of our own human reasoning. But let us look from the perspective of God. Perspective of the Bible, how the Bible throws light. The title of our sermon is God's ultimate intention. Now, I guess with this title, you would know, it's God's ultimate intention. And this is the thing that we want to look at. Why mankind exists? Why you exist? Would He come to earth if there was no sin? You know. So look at the first verse of scriptures. Not only that, I'll show you on the screen, but the Bible. I want you to look at some points of the scripture very carefully. Here we have Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now my emphasis here is I want you to look at, sometimes we just read it, but I want you to know, sometimes we read this, "Oh, blessed be God, the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with spiritual blessings." Oh yes, He blessed us. But you know, we want to need look at certain phrases, certain clause. Here is the emphasis in Christ. Alright? This is Paul's point of view. You will notice one thing about Paul. He always will take you back to the beginning. He will always try to make you, the people of his day, the saints of his day, see and understand the plan and the purposes of God. You understand that? Why God did what He doing in all those events that took place that we have read in the Bible. Why those events took place? And what was God's purpose in having those events and allow those events to take place? So that is the purpose. When something happened, it was a plan of God. And it was God's purpose. Like, for example, now, you see, we have a brother, Nice, couldn't come here. You know, spent $100 to clear drug, for drug clearance before he could get a visa to come to the Philippines. He comes this way and then goes to the Philippines. So, spend $700 running here and there, pay the officer, you know the system, grease money as usual, I was thinking they will never get done. And after he got all that, he couldn't get a visa, they say that's too soon, we cannot get you the visa so early. Because there's a long queue, and whatever the visa they will give. So by the time he's supposed to have come, you understand that? Last Friday, or last Thursday. But because the airline need to know whether he's going to fly. And if he doesn't want to come here earlier, then you're going to get a ticket, and that's the thing. So he said, "Brother Ghana, well, I'm sorry, I cannot come." And I have to send a message to Brother Austin, to Manuel, and he said, "Brother Ghana, it's okay." Because they were all, he was telling me, we're all waiting, are you sure he's coming? When Brother Ray, I was surprised, this brother also said, "Oh, it's okay, Brother Ghana, you know why? Because it's been raining, and raining, and raining. So all things work for good." And yesterday, I got an email from Brother Nice. I said, "Brother God, pray for me. My spleen is enlarged." And he went to the doctor and had a blood test. So now, why God doesn't allow him to come? Because, you know, when I was in Congo last year, he had already complained of the pain, you know, on the right side of his, of his body. And we prayed together, and the pain eased off. And then he went back, and now he says, you know, the pain came back. And went for a checkup and found that it was, of course, the spleen was enlarged and he needed to have a blood test. You know, stool test and urine test and so on. So anything when it's true, we look away, all things work together for good to them to love the Lord. So if it is God's plan and God allows it, that is the purpose. Amen? So I want to look back in Christ. Now the next verse, in verse 4, Ephesians 1:4, "According as you have chosen us in it, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him." The word "before Him" is in His immediate presence, according to worst translation in love. So you see that the second phrase here, "before the foundation of the world," again, it's always back. Alright? Was a time. There was before anything exists, before you were born. It was done before then. But it was all in Christ. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Now these are familiar verses of scriptures that deal with foreknowledge. Am I right? Okay? But it says according to the good pleasure of his will now. Okay? You look at that before the foundation of the world in Christ. And verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Again, you see the purpose of it? He purposed in himself. That's God. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. And verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So, look at the first question we have earlier on. Will Jesus Christ visit the earth if the fall had not taken place? And mankind were not born in sin, everyone living today, they are sinners. Would Jesus Christ come to them? Let us go again. Now, then what I do to you is the New Testament. Now, let's go to the Old Testament now. Psalms 104, verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are thy works? In wisdom has thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Now, I want to emphasize is that in the Old Testament, you will never see the Son of God mentioned there in the Bible. Because the Trinity will tell you that there is Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Okay? The three men that came to Abraham, that's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they will tell you that. Okay, we know that in the Old Testament, prophetically, the Son has been spoken of prophetically, but not existing. In the Old Testament, we have a lot of personification. Alright? And here we have the word wisdom. Wisdom is personified. As who? As Christ Jesus. Wisdom is personified. As to be the one who was to come, that was Christ. So in wisdom, so in Christ, are we in the New Testament? So next one is Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is a principal thing. Now it's a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all the understanding, get understanding. So wisdom is the principal thing. Christ is the principal thing. Understand that? Okay, for now. Next one is Proverbs 8:23. I was set up from everlasting. If you look at Proverbs 8, chapter, the 8th chapter, you read it, you understand it deal with wisdom. Okay? The important wisdom, getting wisdom, and so on. I was set up from everlasting. From the beginning, wherever the world was, earth was. I was set up from everlasting. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Word. I was. Word. Wisdom. Logos. Okay? Proverbs 8:30. Then I was by Him. I, wisdom, was by Him, Yahweh. As one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Proverbs 9:1. Wisdom hath built a house. Now you understand that. Everything before the earth was made, or created, before the universe was created, wisdom was there. Wisdom was there, getting ready to build her house. And wisdom hath built her house. Now, let me go to this illustration. We asked a question now, just now. Would Jesus come to earth if there's no sin? And mankind were not born in sin. Here we have Adam. Creation. You say, okay, we're ready. No, that's bad. Let me just try to get control of this because Okay, we have Adam. And you know the Bible commanded to Adam, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Is that right? So we have creation. So commandment was given to Adam to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So we have propagation. But somewhere before they could propagate, sin came. And so man fell. Right? We all know that record. Then Jesus came. He died on the cross. He gave us the assurance of eternal life if we will accept him. So the man is now going upward. And man will go for continuum in this plane where originally Adam was told to propagate the earth. So there will be no sin if they don't partake of the tree of knowledge and good and evil and so on. So we know this. And our question is this. When we look at this chart, we will think that because of what happened on this earth, because of what took place in the Garden of Eden, we are all very familiar with this. And when we ask the question, would Jesus Christ come to earth if there was no sin? The answer that will usually be given is, no, he will not come. But the answer is, yes, he will still come if there was no sin. Can we sort of try to fathom that a little bit? And understand, why would he come if there was no sin? Because we are always looking from our human perspective, what we already know in scriptures. As I said Friday, we're so familiar with the event or the gospel story, we know what took place in the Garden of Eden, and therefore Christ come, and therefore we have to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we have eternal life. And this is all that we know. But if sin did not happen, or the fall did not happen in the Garden of Eden, Eve did not partake of the fruit, and Adam did not take her. So there will be no sin. So they propagate all the children into this world. Would Jesus come? So now we are no longer going to look at what we know about the gospel, about the fall, about the gospel, about redemption story. But just look at from the beginning when there was no sin, nothing, and you and I. There's no sin. Mankind has no sin. There's no sin on this earth. Would Jesus come? What is the purpose that if we were to say that yes, he would still come? For what reason would he come if there was no sin? Alright? We already, as we said already, we read those few verses of scriptures. Now let us go to another verse of scriptures. This one. Ephesians 3:11. According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, we are looking at scriptures. We are not looking now at redemption story. Just don't look at redemption story for a while. Just look at scriptures as well. There's no fault, there's no sin. You know, all mankind are here on earth, they're all without sin. Right? Would Jesus still come? This verse will give you some light. According to the eternal purpose, we have purpose in Christ. So if we go back to eternity past. Okay, before anything exists, before time exists. What do we read over in the book of Ephesians early on? In chapter 1 verse 11, it said, in whom we also have obtained inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, according to the purpose of God, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So, before ever there was anything, there was the Great Spirit. Wasn't Yahweh? Wasn't Elohim? There's no name. After all, doesn't need a name, and he's just Olof, just a spirit. So when he began to counsel with himself, and when somebody wants to do something, there must be a purpose. When a person wanted to have a plan to create something or to do something, there must be a purpose in life. Like every one of us, what is your purpose in life? There are a lot of young people, of course, in Singapore. The purpose in life is to maybe, you know what, some punk, some what do you call it nowadays. It seems to be a lot of young people now putting on hairdos and hairstyles like the Japanese anime. You know? And wear the kind of clothes like them. Or maybe like the American kids with all the rings on their ears, you know? Or maybe on the lean and aesthetic in their tongue. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, what's the difference between that with the pagans, the Hindus with the rings around their nose? So the purpose in life, there must be a purpose. And so when you have a purpose in life, you set to do it. You have a plan to go about it. And so we see then that when God, when He comes up with Himself, all these things, everything that He do is centered on one thing. And that is centered in Christ Jesus. According to the eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That is a thing. And everything that God created, the thing was upon Jesus Christ. When we look at, from our human point of view, that Jesus would not come if there was no sin. After all, He's supposed to be the Savior. So why would He come if there's no sin? But because you are so familiarized with the gospel story, with the form of the gospel story. And so now, it is always about men and it's about I. I was a sinner, Christ came to die for me. And I accept Him as my personal Savior. So I'm going to hell. The problem is that it's always our thinking is always man-related. It is always, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. Yes, we all know that. But the plan of God is not centered on you and me. The plan of God, His purpose, from the very beginning, was centered upon one person. And that is Christ. Now think about it, huh? If it is centered on Christ Jesus, then what? Then the whole world have to revolve around Him. Just as the solar system we look at, we're the sun. We're the planet that revolve around the sun, right? It's not the sun revolve around the planet, you know. Isn't it right? Of course, early days and when before the scientists ever, or we will say before Mika ever discovered that the sun was stationary, and the earth is actually, you know, revolving around the sun. Everything, the sunrise and the east and setting the west is going around the earth, you know. Huh? And that's what people want think. You understand? You see? Your life should revolve around Christ. But, you know, man is so self-centered. So we always think, I'm the important one. When I'm in trouble, Lord, help me! I'm in trouble! We always cry out to God. It's always I. When we have trouble, it's why, Lord, why am I going through this trial? Why? Why me, Lord? I need healing now, Lord, please! Touch me, heal me! You know, we want instant everything. And we don't even have faith and patience to wait. See, God is working out our life. You see, we think that many times God is our servant, you know. We call Him with a snap of a finger, He'll be there. That sort of thing. If our life is revolving around Christ, it's different. That means that everything that happened in this life, anything, from day to day, whatever happened, whatever is happening in our life, we know that God has a purpose. God allows it. You know, there is a saying that writing a little script that I had in my home. I pick it up from the secondhand store actually. He said, there is nothing overtaken us. There is nothing overtaken us. It comes without God's knowing. You understand that? But God allows it. Knowing that with Him, that without His purpose in us, with Him, we can overcome it. You see? There's no temptation overtaken you, but such as able. If God is able to help you get through. Do you see the point? So it is not man-centered, it is God-centered. So when we look at this, now, we look at this general chart here, we only see this area here, that the purpose of Jesus Christ coming is to save us. Isn't that right? And most of us would think, well, Christ comes to save us. We all know that. John 3:16 says that. Very simple. But John 3:16 only is a part of the whole. You get what I'm saying? For God so loved the world that He gives His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is only the part, a part of the whole. It's not the whole. As you know, a lot of people wanted to be saved, but nobody wanted to walk in the light of God. So nobody, few people wanted really to follow Christ. When Jesus was on earth, you see, you know, the lepers came, the sinner came, the lame came, you know, the blind, the dumb, they wanted to be healed. Remember the 10 lepers that came? Jesus healed them. How many came back to worship Him? You see? It's just like that. Everybody wants something out of God. But few want to be His disciple. Few are willing to get up the cross and follow Him. Of course, to come into contact with God for the first time is tremendous. After all, we've all lost sheep. And here came the shepherd looking for the lost sheep. And when he found you, and here comes the sheep looking at the shepherd, oh, how happy he must be, you know, that the shepherd has come to find him. And the sheep began to make him close to the shepherd. And how wonderful it is to be carried by him. You know, and you remember the story of the you know, what they call an indisciplined lamb? I told you there is when, you know, this is true life too, you know. It happens very often in, among shepherds, especially in the middle years. A shepherd will take out his flock of sheep and lambs out there in the pasture to graze. And sometimes when they're walking, he will see a little lamb going away from the group. You know, maybe he's going to pick up something from the, you know, the side of the field. While the shepherd is leading them to the pasture, the green pasture, this little lamb will go astray a little bit. And when the shepherd sees that, he will just put him back among the herd and continue walking. And sometimes he gets too often, far away. And so one day the shepherd had to take the little lamb, broke his leg. Really? Break his leg. He'll take the lamb, put his and sit down, and with his staff in his hand, put his foreleg and whack it and crack it. And then he put a spring on. And of course the lamb cannot move. Cannot walk with the spring. So the shepherd had to carry. You ever see a shepherd carrying a lamb around his shoulder? The lamb was wounded. And that's how God would treat us too. If we said to go straight, left or right, he'll break us. And so when the lamb after that, when the shepherd goes out with the herd to graze in the pasture, this lamb will be sitting there, you know, because he has a splint across his leg, so he cannot really hop and walk. So he will sit there, and the shepherd will feed him there. Sit down close beside the shepherd. After that, the bone is mended up and healed up. You know, he is always walking close beside the shepherd now. You be sure of that. You know. And that's the way that God is wanting us to know. And that we must be willing to walk with the shepherd. What he leads us, I will follow, as the song said. Not just, oh, I'm saved, I'm, that's it. So I do what I want, the little lamb go where he wants to go. Because those sounds centered, you know what I'm saying? So, salvation is only a part of the whole. Is that not true? We know that Christ came to save sinners, but that is only a part of the complete purpose of plan of God. See? So what then is the whole? Here we are. Yahweh. He's the one that counseled with himself. He planned. He purposed. And what he purposing, what was he purposing? There is a center theme, I already told you, that center theme is none other than wisdom. The Word. Christ. Huh? When we talk about Christ, we're talking about that which is the glory of God. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That glory of God is God's Word. It's God's plan. So when I've said this before, in the beginning there was just a Spirit. And when the Spirit began to counsel in himself and all the plan, out came the Logos. Do you see that? And this Logos is all the plan and the purpose of God to be fulfilled by all mankind. By all his children, that is to say. Whom God has foreknown. From the beginning. It is to fulfill this. That's the center thing. We all must revolve around the Word of God. We must revolve around Christ. So, God created Adam. And we have this fall that took place. And then what we have is, if the fall does restore us back, that as if Adam, before the fall, we have no sin. We are justified. But it's not all to it. If we are walking on a straight line, we are just walking on a plane. Then the song that we used to sing have no purpose then. Huh? What do you call that? On a higher plane. You get me up to a higher plane. What's the song again as a title? Higher ground. Certainly. Come up here, John. Right? Everything is to get higher with God, to a higher level, to reach to the place of not just say, okay, I'm no longer a sinner. I'm saved. I'm heavenward bound, so to speak. But while you are yet on this earth, there is still a purpose. Now we read in 1 Ephesians chapter 1. What is that in verse 4? According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That is in his immediate presence in love. That's what Paul can say, you are sitting in heavenly places now. There is one saying, you are sitting in heavenly places, true enough. But we enter into his immediate presence. And when we are in his immediate presence, means they've said that we must, therefore, you know, get close to the Lord and around the Word and get to be obedient to his Word. So what we see is that the fall and the redemption of man is only a part. Because why? Restoration of mankind to the place where it was like Adam without sin. It served no purpose. It served no purpose. Now, may I ask this, sometimes when we are so sensitive, when we look, all we look is the gospel. If we, let me ask you the question. Lot's wife. We are familiar with Lot's wife. The angel was sent to Sodom and Gomorrah to call Lot and his wife and his children and his daughter. And instruction was given to them. Don't look back. Go in haste to the mountain. Don't look back. So they came, you know, running out of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. So as they were running, well, I don't know how far they ran, and perhaps they heard all this, you know, rumbling and things like that, and they feel the heat, and the volcano, I mean, the whole eruption, you know, the whole of the below, you know, the ground below the city of Sodom and Gomorrah blows up, And all the fire went up into the heavens, and all those brimstones and sulfur and volcanic reaction. You know, it blows up like it will look like when you turn back and look. So I guess that, you know, Lord, so I decided to look back, turn and look back. When she turned and looked back, she must be petrified with shock to what she saw with her eye. And you know, there are people who are, you know, when they see something, they're shocked, they don't really move. You ever seen things like that? And that's what happened to me once when I saw an accident. I mean, that's a simple accident, but my mind goes back to, you know, to images of a skin being scraped off, and you see whiteness all of a sudden. Normally when it's scraped off, because I see that man fell from his bicycle, and he scraped on the road, and I wasn't going to help him. As I walked to him, my mind just see this, the skin being scraped off white, and then slowly the blood oozes out, comes out. That image shocked me, and now I was petrified. I was just standing around there, and I began to perspire. I went into shock myself. Just imagine that. You know? So that image that Lot's wife saw, was so petrified, she stood there, and by the time that she realized anything, it was too late, because all the brimstone and salt just covered her up, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, I ask you a question, is she saved? Then we think about it, is she saved? You know? And the question people ask, no, every person, he's a Christian. But the question I'm asking, is he saved? No? A man who popularized the rock and roll music and rocked everybody to hell with that kind of music. And people say, no, you don't have the right to judge. No, we are not right to judge. But what's just simply I'm asking, do you think he's saved? Do you think Lot's wife is saved? So we will always ask questions like this. We know, what about Judas? Judas, you think he's going to heaven or hell? You say, no, he'll be tricked, he'll go to hell. You know, it's very easy. What about High Priest Caiaphas? Is he in heaven or hell? You know, you ask all that question. What about Alexander, Hymenus, Philetus? The Bible mentioned. Are they in hell? You know, we will wonder this and that. It's just like, okay, we so-and-so, some among us, for example. Well, next, for example, maybe like Michael, Obama, Michael there. Let's say he decided not to come to church for a long, long time. Maybe 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. You know, 10 years, 13 years, 14 years. Then we wonder. Then one day he died. And see, then we ask, is he safe? You know, we will all wonder, is he safe? You see, our thinking is always about escapism. We want to escape hell and be in heaven, you know, to be saved in heaven. Right? And you know, people think that, oh, okay, you are Christian, every one of us, we believe in Christ, all of us believe we are born again, have accepted Christ. Remember this one day, please, don't ever try to do any good work to get eternal life. Don't think that because you're a Christian, and you start to do good work, and thinking that by doing good work, you know, you receive a further reward. I mean, you may receive some reward. But don't think that by doing all this good, you see, I'm preaching the gospel, I travel around the world preaching the truth, I don't think that I say, Lord, I deserve it to be in heaven, right? You know, it should never end our mind. It has nothing to do with salvation. Your work for God has nothing to do with salvation. Your giving, your offering, your tithe, and your time to help one another has nothing to do with salvation. You do it because why? You know that you want to revolve around the Word of God. You want to fulfill the Scripture. That's the most important thing. What did Jesus say when He came? When He was up there in the temple at the age of, how old was He? 12 years old? Wasn't He? And here His parents came looking for Him. Don't you know we were looking for you? And what did He say to the parents? Don't you know I am about my Father's business? Is that right? Another thing, what He said when He went to John's for water baptism, John said, well, you know, you should baptize me in His name. No, not only I baptize you. And what did Jesus say? It behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. It behooves us to fulfill all the Word of God. That is the purpose. So when you are When you're thinking about this part about redemption, it's only a part of the story. So when you are put back up, the plan is we are justified, as if we have no sin. Okay, we are justified. Sanctified, isn't it? Glorified, whatever it would be, that God has predestined. But what is the purpose of it? Then we should be back. Reconciled. Okay, let us go and look at a verse of scripture here. Romans 11:36. This is the important scriptures that you need to look at. And it will answer all your questions. Romans 11:36. For of him, through him, to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. This is the answer to the question, will Jesus come even though there is no sin? The answer is yes. For of him, through him, and to him. You see, the purpose is that we, when God made Adam, we are of him. Then, through, whether it is downward, in fall, in Christ come, or not, we are still going through a process through him. And then, to him. You understand that? We're all of him, for whatever plan and purpose he has for us. That we have to go through a process and then back to him. So if there was no sin, Jesus still come. For what purpose? That he might set the example of fulfilling totally the word of God, and that he will have the preeminence among his people. That we will all emulate him, we will all follow his example, so that we all could be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you know, when the fall came, we were only attained, we only go up to the path, whereas we have not seen. That's all. So if we do not want then to be walking with him, Christ Jesus, so that we could be reconciled back to the Father again. So the purpose then for the center team, then this center team, as I said, which is of course Jesus Christ. It's all about it. So mankind revolve around him. Father created. Now you know in the Trinity, the Trinitarian try to understand, but we don't try to understand. There's no way you can understand the Trinitarian point of view. The Trinitarian point of view is this: one day the three gods up there in heaven, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, decide to say, let's say the Father is a spokesman, he says, okay, now, Son, Holy Spirit, you know, we need to do something, you know. It's boring up here in heaven. So let us create mankind. Let us make man. Okay? Let us make man. Let us have family. And the Father said, okay, I will do the planning, you know. And the Son, you will be the spokesman, you will speak the word, and the Holy Spirit will be the one that goes and, you know, move and create and so on. Good. And the Son said, what happened if mankind one day should sin? The Father said, well, you have to die for them. Why me? Because you are my Son. So you die. So we have a thing there, and what? And after you rise right, the Holy Spirit said, well, you know, then I will walk in the life of mankind. You see, I'm bringing them all to your image. So it all sounds like that, you know. But the Bible tells us that there is only but one God, one Spirit, and everything is within himself. And he taught, he has already counseled in himself, he already planned this before anything was created. That he must have a sense of it. He wanted a family. And that is what actually it is all about. He wanted a family. And I'll show you the prophecy in scripture when God said, it is not good for man to be alone. When he created Adam, right? After all, here was a God, and here was a man. He was one single being, and there was one single being. Here was the invisible one in the heavenly, here was a visible one on the earth, right? So when God said, it is not good for man to be alone, he wasn't just talking about the man, he was talking about himself. It is not good for God to be alone, it is not good for him to be alone, you see. That's why he wanted a family. That is the thing about it. God already had planned all these things. And all these things centered around the Logos, the word, the wisdom that he had, you know, already counseled, planned and purposed. And it was set upon a person being the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? It will all revolve around Jesus Christ. See? Alright? Now, Romans 8:20. There's no more verse on the PowerPoint. So look at Romans 8:20. For the creature was made subject to vanity. For the creature was made subject to vanity. Do you understand? So the fall of mankind did not take God by surprise. It wasn't something that God wasn't aware of. But the purpose, the very thing is that he allows it. It was a part of his plan. He asked me, but again, God forced man. He said, no, he didn't. But he must work out a plan that he knew the man before. How does he do it? That's just not what he created. Eve. Not the original. Huh? A byproduct out of Adam. Among the animals in the world, everyone is there, pair. Then when it comes to man, God says, no, I'm not going to create a pair. Because if I create a pair, there is no fault. But what was the purpose for me to keep them a fault? Why do I want to allow that? Why? Because I want to give them a far better body than this one. Do you understand that? He already purposed in his mind. God had already purposed in his mind that the son of team, that biology. The one seed word that where I will be spring out of, that everyone will be having the same kind like that. You know right? You know, pedigree, huh? You know, people keep dogs or even farmers. I know there's some, when I was in the state, Brother Jackson told me, because he was a farmer, so you know how they breed the horses, and, you know, how even the crops are selected, the seeds are selected, you know. You see. So the same thing is that from the very beginning God already had this central thing, this Son of God in his mind. This Jesus God already in his mind. And it is the central thing, this is the one that you want to pattern, you and I, after. Do you see that? So that way he allows it. That's what the Bible said. For the creature was made subject to vanity. God's purpose, you know. He didn't force it. You know what happened? But he didn't force it. Sometimes you all wonder, huh? You see. So that when man tasted the fall, when man tasted the fall, and then we can see experience, oh my. I mean, we're not just being saved. And then come back to the plane where, like Adam, we are not sin. We are not sin anymore. Yeah, that's what's so special about it. I mean, you are not here on this earth, right? You are son of God, you are not sin, you are just an Adam, right? I mean, the world still look at us sin, but you know God don't look at us sin anymore, right? Amen! So what the purpose? We still eat, we still need to sleep, we still suffer pain. We get sick. You know right? So what's the purpose? So that out of this body, God can fashion a more glorious one. You understand it? And so whom he predestinated, justified, he sanctified, he will also glorify. When he glorified you, he will be judged the same as Christ, having a glorified body. Do you understand? So if make him not sick, Christ will still come. So of course, there will be no need for him to die when he comes, if there is no sin. But he will come still to make man follow that image of his. Everything of God, through God, and back to him. That was God's purpose. He must bring everything back to himself. So the whole thing is, it's all about God. It is not about you. 2 Timothy 1:9. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who have saved us and called us with an holy calling. Not according to our our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. According to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So whether make I fall or make I not fall, God still work out according to His own purpose and grace. Galatians 1:15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I compiled not with flesh and blood. Now you see these two verses, verse 15, Galatians 1:15. But it pleased God. So it's God's purpose. As a plan. For what? To reveal His Son in me. Right? You get it? Okay, now let's go back. If there was no sin, and we are all here on earth, we have no sin. Now, what purpose then being on this earth? Daily life, we have to, well, you know, still dress the earth, cultivate the earth for our living. Of course, we don't have to worry about the cows and the pigs and the goats, because we're not going to eat the meat, because we're not omnivores. We are all herbivores. We'll be eating fruits, and all right, vegetables and all that. You know, it's not all that is to it. So the purpose of Christ's coming is to reveal, that is for God to reveal His Son in us. Now, even on earth, when Christ doesn't come, we don't even know whether God has a Son. So to speak, you know, the only begotten Son. You understand that? Because everything is centered on Christ. So when He comes on earth, He will set the example how to be getting close to the Lord Jesus. I mean, to God, the Father. Because, you know, He is the one that God used to reconcile us back to Him in the fall. But without the fall, it's still the same thing. He still has to give this image or this mirror. So that when we see Him, we want to be like Him. Otherwise, all the Adamic children on this earth, we only see each other as it is. There's nothing else to follow. You understand that? God wants us to come to the image of His Son. When we talk about the image of Son, what is it? What do you think of Him? What do you have in your mind? The image of His Son is not that we're going to have a bright light body or spiritual one. No. It's to be like Him. That's that is the purpose. To be like Him. Is that alright? It's to be like Him. Even though we have no sin, He sent us the example, He come. So we could be like Him. Even now, okay, we are justified. We have to be like Him. Isn't that so? Amen. Alright. In the day of Jeremiah, when Jeremiah was a prophet by then, he was in the days of King Josiah. King Josiah was the last of the good kings. And after that, a lot of bad kings comes around. And God called Jeremiah to go and prophesy. And he said, oh, why me, Lord? I don't know how to speak. He's just like talking. He's just like Moses talking to God, you know. See, you know, sometimes when God calls us to do something, we might have a shock. You know? And He always gives excuses. Even today, I mean, just like many of us, even excuses. When God wants you to come for fellowship, I'm so tired, so far away, you know. But these things, they all give all kinds of excuses. And the right sister, Wendy, it's always there. You know. I'm tired after work, you know what? Sometimes, you know, I told a Christian brother back then when I was in the denomination, he wanted to do something big for God. I said, brother, if you cannot, when God tells you the small thing, you can't do the small thing, you can do the big thing. share the simple thing about it? Well, the big thing is that they want to come up to the pulpit and be recognized by everybody. But the bigger thing is that they don't want to be a doorman in their church. A janitor, for example, or an usher. Or nobody. Somebody who see the need of a brother or sister who cannot come so easily because he's afflicted or she is afflicted. Can we go pick them up to church? Or help in something, you know, chairs and tables and whatever thing that we need to do. You see, that's the thing about it. When God tells you we don't want to listen anymore, sometimes we shut up the ear in hearing the voice of God because some of this problem I don't want to be involved in. You know, we are part of pastors of the body of Jesus Christ, and that's God's purpose. Jeremiah, I wanted to go and prophesy. No, Lord, I don't know how to speak. Who make your mouth? Just like what God told Moses. The same. What mean? Who make your mouth? Don't say that you are a child. Don't say you are a kid. I'll put words in your mouth to speak. You know. And God said to him, I said, before your mother conceived you, I already formed you. I formed you. I know you before the foundation of the world. I've chosen you for that one purpose. See? And all this purpose was to that we, every one of us, will fulfill the word of God. Huh? Don't be like there's some Christians that I know of. Even today, out there in the denomination, the charismatic. But it is very often happening in our end-time message churches around the world. I have a lot of correspondence. People are looking for a church to fellowship. And they ask me, Brian, do you know any church? And those churches I know, I says, go. This one, go there. This is the one I know. And if there are none that I know, I say, well, the only thing is to get right to the voice of God recording and tell them where you live. And they'll give you an address of the church and just go fellowship. And when you go fellowship, the most important thing is that you check out the scripture daily and find those things whether they teach are true. It's simple as that. But there are some that say, I go in, I just sit there, I don't be involved in anything. It randomly happened to the church at Randall. You know, brothers and sisters, we cannot just be coming to church without being a part of the church. Without being a part of the body. As I said, we are part of the body. We all have a responsibility. I know your little finger or thumb, you still are a member of the body. And as the Bible says, when one member suffers, all suffer together. When one rejoices, all rejoice together. You see, another thing we need to fulfill, that thought it was God's purpose. We are of Him, and we go through Him, through the Word of God, through His purpose, through all that which He wants us to go through, so that we be reconciled back God, and so that we go through a circuit back to God. Of Him, through Him, and by Him. Last part of it, let me say this, Israel is a good example of one that not doing the right thing. It was God's purpose, remember that, to put them in Egypt. Huh? Is that alright? After all, you know, if God allows certain things to be, that even He allowed Joseph to be sold as a slave to Egypt. Because God knows that there is a famine coming and many people will die. But it was God's grace and mercy that Joseph went in with all the intelligence that God given to him. Grain was stocked up. And those, when the famine came and there were hundreds and thousands of people without grain, without food, they all went to Egypt to buy it. And so our time comes, all Joseph's family, you know, father and all the siblings all went to Egypt. And so God allowed it. God allows it. God did not force it. God knew it. God purposed it. They all went up to Egypt and lived there happily ever after, not at all. So after that one Pharaoh that came up, and who did not know Joseph, what happened? He made them slaves. Okie dokie, here came Moses. God said, okay, get them out. So they get out. So for what purpose? What did God call them? Because God purposed that they should have a better land. He promised the land of Canaan to them. So the children of Israel got out. They were happy because they were slaves in Egypt. Every morning get up from sunrise to sunset, they have to pick up straws you know, mix of mud, dug in your hand and your feet in the fire just to make bricks. So they came out of Egypt. Oh, they were happy. They got out. They said goodbye to Egypt. But as the journey out, in the journey, they found the whole journey was an inconvenience. You know, there's no water. There's no food. Too much inconvenience. Isn't that right? Isn't it true? And then that's the same thing with many of us in our journey as Christians. Oh, no, I want to be saved. Yes, I want to be liberated. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. But you know, we don't want to be inconvenient. As a Christian, we believe as a Christian, so much inconvenient. Oh, I need to go to church. Why must I go to church? Why must I go for prayer meeting? Why go to my Bible study? Why do I need to do that? Why do I need to be witness about Christ? So inconvenient. Inconvenient! It's not an easy road. But when we need something, we always say, Father, help me. God, help me. You see, we are also self-centered. Everything. That's why Christ needs to come, whether fall took place or not, so that we can have that image. We can look at Christ and know, this is what I want to be. That's the mirror. That's what the Bible taught about. The Bible is a mirror. Is that alright? We look at it. We can see ourselves whether we are coming to that image of Jesus Christ or not. Are we patterned up here? Are we walking like Him? That's the image that God wants us to follow. That's the very standard thing, the very glory that God has. He's a purpose in Himself. So Israel went out. Well, they got into the land of Canaan, right? So when in, oh, they fight and everything, and yeah, God was with them. They were happy. They got a land. The rest. Well, you know, they did get to have a physical rest, but they never get into the rest of God. Do you know the Bible in Hebrews chapter 4, Paul said so? And it is like the same thing with many Christians, especially when we end time message believers. Message believers. Let me say this. Many entered into Canaan land, but they died in the wood. You know? But they don't have the life. They enter Canaan land, they rest. But they don't, they only have the physical rest, but they don't have the spiritual rest that Paul talks about. Many can come into this mass and say, yes, I believe the word. But they died in the word. And yet never have the life of it. You know, people can go to church with the Bible in their hand. Hug the Bible and say, yes, I have the word. And they die without the life of the word. You read the book 50 Years in the Church of Rome by Pastor Charles Cheneke. You make him cry. You know, like this, Charles Cheneke, before of course he came out, he was 25 years serving Rome. And as a priest. And many times he said, he left Rome, that's why he wrote that book. So many times he says, it pain his heart because young girls, young women, they're Catholic by faith, they follow the creeds and the dogmas, the rules and regulations of the Catholic Church. When it comes to the confession, you know what? He says, many of these girls, women, they just cannot confess what they have done. But the priest behind the box says, no, you must tell me everything. They don't want the detailed descriptions. And this woman says, how can I? It's a very personal thing. And oh, and many of them, they lied. And many of them, when they died, they cried out, my soul is dead in purgatory. Because I didn't tell the truth to the priest. Why would one priest want to hear all the things that's going on or committed by young girls and young women? The sins that are committed, the fornication that they have committed, whatever it may be. And they think that the priest has the power to forgive them.
I didn't know they were grasping at, you know, life supporting rope or whatever you want to call it, that's not there. And the people think, I have a lot in here coming in, I can tie all these years, ladders. Not again, I'm playing Malachi 4, 5, and 6. And they started condemning because I don't preach the prophet. I don't quote the prophet, and blah, 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 blah. And they think that even those who believe in the return ministry of Brother Branham, they believe that if you don't believe that, you're not a believer. I can tell you this, they say they have the word, but they die without the light of the word. They have the message, but they don't have the light of the message. You see what I'm talking about? You say you're a Christian, you're all born again. Yes, we are saved, you all go to heaven, so we are all, we are justified, we are all saints now. But it's just only one stage, you're only a part of the whole. Because everything must go back. We must put in the image of Christ. You must follow that image. We are God. We go through whatever the purpose of God may be, full or without fault. Because you know what? We are of Him, through Him, and to Him. Are we going back to Him? Or say, oh, yeah, see, that's all. Huh? So what do you blame Jesus Christ for? That's the second question. So that you can escape hell and go to heaven? That's not the purpose, I hope. Is that alright? But that's not God's purpose just to give you, bring you to heaven, you know. That your hope of going to heaven. Is that alright? You see? We believe in Jesus Christ for what purpose? Yes. Because we have sinned. And we need a Savior. Yes. What else? To be conformed to His image. Yes. That's what it is. So that we can be reconciled back to God in the image of Jesus Christ. When we enter into Canaan land, let us have the true rest. When we come back to the Word, let us have the true rest in the Word. Not just live confession and doing no good. Amen? God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for grace again. We thank you for Word, Lord, and now we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord, Father. We know, Lord, without Him, we will not be made perfect through, Lord. We know, Lord, the saints of old, whatever recorded in the Bible, Father, we know, they were all recorded for us, mentioned for us. And Father, Lord, let us, your children here, learn from you that we are not just being saved so that we could have a place in heaven. But that you save us, Father, you might have a family that have the image of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for your purpose in every one of us. Like as Paul, Lord, said that you chose him, you call him, you save him, that you could reveal your begotten Son, Jesus Christ in Him. It pleases you for you to do that, Lord. And we know that it pleases you, Father, that you have chosen every one of us here. I believe those of us, Father, who have not this assurance, give it to them, Lord. Baptize them with the Holy Spirit, Lord, and let your Spirit witness in their spirit who they are. And we thank you, Lord, it pleases you that you have called us to review Jesus Christ in us. Help us to follow your word and help us to be obedient, Lord. Let us think about this thing as we look into the mirror of thy word. And let us all be conformed to the image of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father. We ask for your blessing today in Jesus' name. Amen.